there were things that, you know, and we'll get into that in our maxi pod.
Yeah.
Welcome to Sincast, presented by CinemaSins.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the Sincast. This is Chris Atkinson from CinemaSins, joined as always by the voice of CinemaSins, Jeremy Scott.
Kapow!
And from Music Video Sins, Barrett Sher.
Zing!
And we're joined today by a guest from also our family of channels.
Yes, yeah.
Jonathan Watkins.
Yay!
He's here for
I cannot compete with Kapow and Zing, so no.
Yeah.
Say hello.
Probably the fifth or sixth time, somewhere around
that
there.
That sounds about right.
First time that we've been in here together.
Yeah, this is the first time Jeremy and I have been here together.
That'll be fun. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Holy cool. crap.
We are not the same person as most, as no one's ever seen.
I was telling him when I came in, I pulled up and saw a second car in the driveway. I was like, who is this motherfucker that's taking my spot?
I know.
And then I remembered it was Jonathan.
What a dick.
I am a dick.
But today we're going to be doing a mini-pod.
Mini-pod!
Yes.
Infinipod. Oh, Infinipod.
You know what's hard, though? I'm really frustrated because now the core, hardcore fans of the podcast can now predict any whatever pod I could come up with. Because
mm-hmm.
I saw the first few I saw was like Avengipod
uh-huh.
and Infinitypod, and I was like, I'm just going to do Infinipod
because
it rhymes with mini-pod. Mm-hmm. But then I started seeing that, too, and I was like, I can't be original anymore. That's like, I've taught them too well.
Yeah. That's right. You can do a Wari pod.
Oh, Wari pod.
That'd be a different one.
Avengers Infinity Wari pod.
We're going to be doing a mini pod of Avengers Infinity War. The movie made $257 million over the weekend.
Two people saw it.
Just one.
$2.
Breaking the Force Awakens record.
Did you expect
opening
that?
Weekend. Yes, I was.
It broke pretty much all the opening weekend records, right?
Yeah, it broke the worldwide, which I think was like $530 million or something like that is what it made. Maybe more.
I think more.
It's made a ton of money, and it's got a free reign all the way until Deadpool. And who knows? I mean, you know, I think it's getting good enough recognition, reviews, and all that, that if it drops only 50%, you're getting $125 million next weekend, and it's also doing well during the week, too. And it's like earlier, I know when we did our summer preview and everything, I was like, I don't know if it can beat Black Panther. I still don't, because Black Panther's at $688 right now.
You mean total gross, yeah.
Total gross mm-hmm. domestic. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it can beat Black Panther, but it obviously can.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, when Deadpool comes out and when Solo comes out, will it be able to keep up at that point? Because I think it'll easily be around $500 million by the time Deadpool mm-hmm. comes out. And then it's probably got a free ride to hit $700 at least.
One of the things I think helped Black Panther do so well, I could put any movie in that sentence, was repeat viewing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing a lot, at least what my narrow worldview of social media is on, you know, my computer. I'm seeing a lot of people who are seeing it over and over. Like, I saw one of our fans on Twitter I interact with a lot was like, I'm seeing it for the third time on Monday. And I'm like, holy shit, how do you have time to do anything else?
Infinity War?
So I think, and this, what a strange situation this is, right? There's never been a movie like this.
Well,
ever.
I think Black Panther was fifth last week.
I mean, still in there.
I mean, it was crazy. I think Infinity War got people back into going to see it again.
Yeah.
This is a 10-year culmination, 19, 20 some movies,
mm-hmm.
all building to this,
mm-hmm.
and I suppose Avengers 4. And we've never seen, no one's ever done this. Let's build a connected universe of multiple series that are all in the same world, and we're going to crescendo where they're all in an adventure together.
Mm-hmm.
If you sat down and watched this movie without having seen any MCU films, you would be lost as fuck.
I wonder.
And I think that's okay.
Yeah, I wonder what percentage of the audience did that.
It has to be very small, right?
Younger.
I think less than a percent.
I think maybe younger people that had not, you know, like that were too young to see the other ones, and they're going with their parents to see this one. This might be only their second or third, but they've still probably at least seen Black Panther maybe the last couple of Avengers films. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you'd still enjoy it, though. I think you'd still have fun watching it, but yeah, you're definitely going to be...
Oh, yeah, from the get-go, you're going to be lost.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The movie's not going to waste any time on... I mean, it wastes time,
for sure,
but it's not going to waste time in the opening.
Yeah.
We're staying spoiler-free, right?
We're staying spoiler-free for a bit, and then we'll get into the spoilers afterwards, but I guess let's get into it. What did you think of Avengers Infinity War?
I'm interested to hear Jeremy's opinion because I saw your tweet yesterday, and it was something paraphrasing like, I liked it. I liked it probably more than some people, and I liked it less than some people. I think I'm kind of in your camp, too. Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was fun. I thought they gave the characters decent room to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't as infatuated with it as I thought was the potential, and from what I've heard, people like gush over it.
Yeah, I think I'm old. I'm actually had a mild crisis of conscience after this movie. In like, I may just be out of touch. Like, I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. I liked it probably a little more than I liked Civil War, but I didn't like Civil War as much as everybody else did.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think it does some things better that Civil War than Civil War. Oh, yeah. I think it gives us. I mean, the villain is fantastic because they've spent, you know, 10 years with all of the heroes, they can afford to let this movie take its time, giving you the backstory of the villain slash protagonist. But, you know, I didn't cry. I didn't fall in love with it. I'm seeing people like having Jesus experiences at this movie. And I'm wondering if I was talking with Simser about this last night online because he and I had a similar reaction. And it's just it feels like we're now in this era of filmmaking by beats.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of the beats work great in this movie, but there are a lot of moments where it feels like I'm supposed to be cheering just because person A and person B have finally met each other.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's not a compelling movie thing going on, I'm not going to cheer just because these two people are meeting. But everybody else is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm starting to realize maybe I'm the guy on the island here. Maybe when back when I'm in love with Star Wars and my dad's like, I don't get it. Like, maybe I've turned into him.
You're not alone, though. You're, the three of Chris and Barrett and I saw it together, and there were a lot of people clapping at certain moments. Mm-hmm. And
people just show up on screen and they're clapping.
And we're all enjoying it. Like, I mean, the three of us are highly enjoying it, but we weren't standing up clapping when, I mean, like the Captain America entrance. I don't think that's a spoiler.
No.
Captain America showing up. That's a great bit.
Although there's one person out here there's like, Captain America's in this movie? Yeah. Fuck!
Yeah. But that's a great bit, but like the audience just erupted. I mean, they were just clapping and mm-hmm. it was a thing. And that was a really cool moment. I really, really, really enjoyed it. I think a lot of the credit goes to the Russo brothers. The fact that this movie works at all, I think, is enough to say it's a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's actually even better than that. I don't know if that makes sense, but it moved me at times. But I did think that was weird. I heard a lot of stuff going into it, like bring your tissues.
Yeah.
And I not once was I like,
no.
Oh, I cannot wait. I can't wait to get into the spoilers.
Yeah, either. I mean, a lot of that's going to come in the spoiler section. But I thought one thing I did like about this. Now, when we get into spoilers, we can talk about whether this is really the case at the end of it. But I this was the first time since I would say Winter Soldier that I felt like there were stakes, that I felt like they were, you know, Winter Soldier was one of those movies where it seemed like they were changing shit up,
mm-hmm.
like they were, you know, breaking the norm. And you could argue whether they did or not after that. I think they did a little bit, and I think in some cases they didn't. But that's how I felt while watching this movie. Every scene, there was tension because you didn't know how that scene was going to end.
I both agree and disagree.
Well, now, like I said, once it ended, you could go back and be like, well, that was false. But I'm saying while I'm watching it.
Sure. No, there's definitely more weight.
Yeah, especially after that opening scene, which was great.
Yeah, and again, you know, I understand Thanos' motivation and can sympathize with it much more than I can understand either side in Civil War.
Yeah, for sure.
So in that regard, I totally agree with you. The movie does have moments of true weight that, for me, have been missing from previous MCU films in large part. One thing that I think for sure I want to praise is that they have 100% figured out humor for these films.
Yeah.
Starting with the first Guardians movie, maybe not so much the second one, but then Spider-Man Homecoming, Thor Ragnarok, and Black Panther were all hilarious as hell.
Yeah.
And this movie is hilarious as hell.
It is much funnier than I expected it
to be. Yeah, and even in the climactic scene, Star-Lord does something that almost cost me the rest of the film because I was laughing so hard at it. And I think you could probably argue maybe there's too much humor in the weighted moments. I don't know about that. I think we need to laugh along with, and these characters have always cracked wise in the midst of heavy situations. So it's, but
they know what they're doing in terms of the comedy, and they really understand these characters at this point. And I think it shows. I think the film reflects that.
And going back to the Russo brothers, I found that interesting too, because I guess they have messed with Spider-Man because he was in Civil War, so I guess they kind of helped create that. Mm. But he's obviously never done anything with the Guardians of the Galaxy. And I'm sure Gunn was involved on some level.
I've heard that he actually wrote dialogue for Guardians of the Galaxy.
But even just the way they shot them. I mean, just everything. I mean, everybody felt the same as they felt in their own individual films, which I don't think people realize that would not be an easy thing to do, because there have been, like, for instance, Wonder Woman from Wonder Woman to Justice League is like two completely different characters.
Yes, it is.
You know, but here with the Marvel movies, what they've been able to do, and probably because they've all been together this whole way through this journey, everybody feels the exact same from movie to movie.
Yeah. I get accused.
And I think that's impressive.
We get accused of being DC haters. We get accused of being MCU haters. It's across the board, but they have always cast well. Yes. In the MCU, almost perfectly, I would say. They hit a home run again here with Josh Brolin playing Thanos. Mm-hmm. He's not going to get the kind of love on the mocap work that Andy Serkis gets, but I think he might should, because I feel like a lot of the weight of that character comes from the facial work that Brolin's doing.
And general voice work. Yeah.
And villains is a problem with the MCU movies. Yeah, been a big problem, and Thanos stands out.
They may have solved it. Black Panther had a great villain, and now Thanos is a great villain. So, you know, there's, I think, a lot of hope moving forward for people like me who like but don't love the MCU. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I really enjoyed this. There's lots to enjoy. I'll tell you what, the 2.5 hours fucking flew by.
Me too. Yeah, said the same thing.
There is no way it feels like 2.5 hours the first time you're watching
it. No, this is an Avatar.
And that's a compliment, I think, because even long movies that I love can still feel long, like Dances with Wolves. Yeah. I'm like, it's a 5-hour movie, but I love it.
Yeah, because when I thought about that, like, you know, was the length a problem? And there's definitely moments in the movie that are slower than others, but I have no clue what I would cut.
I know. I do.
Well, I'm not. you can always trim bits here and there, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think the running time was an issue.
No,
there are issues. I have issues with the film, don't get me wrong, but the running time was not one of them.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was happy to see a climax that didn't have a up-tempo rock song and actually had score.
Mm-hmm.
What else can we praise? I think the performances are really good. You know,
who were some of your favorites? I mean, just
Tom Holland stands out for me again.
He's the best Spider-Man, right? I don't even think that's an argument
anymore.
I
cannot believe how great he is. It's really shocking.
I mean, I know we're the Spider-Man guys here, but
and I thought Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield were fine.
I never had a problem
with them, but they nailed him. He stood out to me.
Pratt's really good.
Pratt, I was surprised how much screen time the Guardians got.
Yeah, I was too.
And I figure if you're Vin Diesel, at this point you're like, motherfucking, that wrestler took the best role and I'm stuck here doing three lines of Groot every movie. And Batista's getting all the awesome. But Diesel is huge. He could have totally played Drax.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah.
And I bet you he regrets that now. Mm-hmm.
Batista might have the funniest scene in the movie.
Drax is one of those characters that I feel like they used perfectly in Guardians 1, and ever since then, they've just been putting him in too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but yes, Drax is very funny. Everybody's funny.
I thought Hemsworth really stood out to me. I think I don't know what I thought of him after the first Thor movie. I'm not a big fan of the first two Thor movies, like I think a lot of people are. I'm not alone in that boat. But Hemsworth has really grown into that role, and he's very good in this. I don't even know. This might be his. I don't know. He's really good in Ragnarok, too, so maybe it was coming off of that.
Chris, did you like this more than we did?
Yep.
Yeah.
I definitely liked it more than the two of you. I don't know if I liked it more than Chris, but
no,
it's close.
I think this is the best comic book adaptation since The Dark Knight.
Wow.
That's bold.
That's bold.
I could see feeling
it's not at some point. It's not better than The Dark Knight, but it's up there. There's images in this movie that I haven't seen in a comic book movie in a really long time.
Hmm.
And there were some things that just were pure excitement for me.
Hmm.
Also, could possibly have something to do with the fact that I had just rewatched all of these movies.
Yeah, you were like,
and I have like a lot of like different built-in knowledge that I haven't had with all the movies since Iron Man. Like, I've never rewatched since Iron Man any of these movies except for Sin's purposes, and that's a different thing. And now that I've watched them just there were things that, you know, and we'll get into that in our maxi pod.
Yeah.
later on, but like, just
we've never done that.
It's quickly turning into a Mexican.
I'm a little offended now. I was only invited for the mini.
You know, there are things in all the movies that sort of build. That's the thing about Infinity War, is that there are so many movies from the past that are represented in this thing.
Yeah.
You go to the first Captain America is in this, and like, and Thor the Dark World is in this. It's like, if I had not seen those before, I would have probably been like, I don't know what's going on at all with some of this stuff. And I think it almost matters to have that kind of knowledge going in. I would never suggest, before every Marvel movie, rewatching all of them. But good God, man, it was such a good foundation to get into this one.
Probably made you appreciate everything too, like what they were actually building to, and maybe they did actually have some. I mean, obviously, until the first Avengers movie, or until I guess Iron Man made money, you know, because they almost left out that scene with Samuel Jackson and the Stinger. Mm-hmm. They almost left that out because they didn't know what they were doing. But I think you can definitely see an obvious path they were going.
Yeah, and especially after Age of Ultron. Which I'll get more into the later, you know, the later one that we later podcast, but, you know, I have my opinions have not changed on Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
And that one was just a tremendous letdown, and really just everything leading up to that. I have different perspectives on some that ones that I hate that have a different perspective on, and ones that I love that I have different perspectives on. I don't think there was anything like, you're not all of a sudden going to be hearing me say, boy, that Thor the Dark World. Yeah. Woo, yes. Boy, I just gave that short shrift when it came out, man, because it's still a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, ultimately I really like this. I have seen this twice too. I've seen Infinity War twice.
This is one of those that, even though it's so obtuse and really long, I really want to see this again too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
well, and you'll have plenty of time in the next 2 weeks.
And I want to be on the party boat. I want to be on the party boat, but I'm not.
Oh, on the party of liking it. Yeah,
yeah. I want to be the guy who's dying to go see it again. I'll see it again when we send it.
You know, I want to see it again because it's so dense, and maybe it would make it a little bit better. I mean, I think I'm like you, Jeremy, where it's like I'm hovering around like 90% or something like that.
I'm lower than that.
You're lower than that. But yeah, it's right there. But like, there was just something that prevented me from going all the
I'll
way.
I'll tell you what it is. Were you ready to talk spoilers?
Well, yeah, let's go into spoilers.
No spoilers!
And Miss Basie is Kaiser Sose.
Miss Luke's what? Father is actually Darth Vader. What? She's the sister and the daughter.
She's they just No. I'm reading the books.
It's half a movie.
It is half of a movie. Yes.
You Harry Potter 7 to me.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, you did it in a way that none of those deaths have any weight.
They might.
Goddamn, Spider-Man is not dead.
No.
Black Panther is not dead.
Not Spider. No, but we didn't think they were going to die anyways. We knew they had more.
Then
movies.
Why is the movie trying to fake me out, trying to make me think they're dead?
I don't know that it is, though.
I don't know if it is either. And it might more back up your point about it being half a movie because it's not trying to tell us. I will say, though, I am completely different from some of the people who are watching this movie. The guy next to me, like, he put his hands over his face and was like devastated at all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, do you not know that all of these characters are going to be back like easily?
Well, that's my point, is that people saying bring your tissues, the people that I said earlier were having a religious experience, they're bawling their eyes out when Spider-Man dies.
Well,
and I can't get there.
I felt like that was more with Gamora and Loki. I felt like those were what
those two might be permanent.
I felt like those were what people were talking about. Yeah, I think they definitely could be permanent because, I mean, the next Guardians of the Galaxy movie could be set before that.
I feel like I've seen a bunch of people saying that Spider-Man ending teared him up.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, yeah. Wow. No, well, that's weird.
Well, I mean, because he's like, I don't want to go yet,
yeah,
Mr. Stark.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a
and
sad scene.
Plus, also, here's the thing. It's a difference between what we know and what the characters know. The characters don't think that they're going to be back. That's the difference. Like, Tony Stark believes he has fucked up everything now, and he believes that he has taken this child, basically, into this He's taken him under his wing, and he is responsible for killing him. That's going to fuck Tony Stark
in the
next movie.
It is, for sure. But don't you think it's asking too much of the audience to try and forget that we know Spider-Man Homecoming 2 is already on the calendar?
Yeah, I don't know.
But that's just going to be part of the story, too, right? I mean, they ended a season of Sherlock with Sherlock killing himself, and everybody knew he was coming back. But it kind of became more like, this is a weird comparison, but it kind of became more like, how is he going to come back, as opposed to whether or not he's going to come back.
But I don't feel like a lot of movies do that. I think it's going to ultimately, they're going to play it that way. But I feel like the movie wants to give you a gut punch at the end emotionally by playing the deaths as real.
I think one thing that's interesting about this, though, is that the studio came out and said that they were, because originally when they announced all these things a few years ago at San Diego or whatever, they were calling them Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and Avengers Infinity War Part 2. Then they came out and said, we're not going to release the title of the second movie, which kind of put everything up in the air. So while you're watching this, like I said, feeling like things were at stake, a lot of that actually had to do with that because I'm about to get mad now. I didn't know if this was actually going to end.
No, but they did that on purpose. I saw an interview with one of the Russo brothers, and he said, we wanted all the focus to be on Infinity War. And so we said something, now everybody's blown it up and they think the title of Avengers 4 is a spoiler, but it's not. We just wanted the focus on Infinity War. They fucked with you.
I just said it was interesting, first off. I didn't say I liked it. I said it was interesting. But what I did find kind of interesting is that, you know, I mean, essentially with the end of this movie, Thanos wins. Now, granted, that's going to be changed. I get that there's going to be a second movie, but I think that kind of makes this movie work by itself.
We are now in an age where they are fucking with you on the trailer.
Oh yeah,
to try and surprise you with the movie.
Sure,
right? Like, I'm going to stop watching trailers not because of Dicer's zero frames bullshit, but because I don't want to be fucked with. I want to be shown some tease of what the movie is. But it's the same thing with the Spider-Man Homecoming trailer where they had that money shot of Tony and Spider-Man swinging through the city. That never happens in the movie. Yeah.
Well, and they re-edited the trailer, too. There's a part in the trailer where you think Tony Stark's talking to Gamora, and he never actually meets Gamora in the movie.
That's the same thing, but a little different.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but they do. I mean, that's pretty common with trailers.
I'm talking about inserting characters into scenes and climactic moments so they'll think
they're
there.
No, that was weird. That was very odd. Yeah.
I'm just saying,
it didn't bother me the way it bothers you, I guess.
No, I guess, I'm going to end up the angry guy who hated this movie.
No, you're fine, man.
And I'm giving it a B-. I liked it.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I just don't think... Just give me both movies. I get that you don't want to release a five-hour movie because you make half as much money. Put them both out at the same time as two separate movies and let me watch them back-to-back and pay you twice.
Yeah.
Don't make half a movie.
Did Kill Bill bother you? I'm just curious. I'm just thinking about other movies that have done this.
Well, I don't know.
Kill Bill...
That might just be a problem.
Kill Bill didn't seem like... just half a movie, though.
No, it has a better place to stop in the middle.
Yeah, but Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 is definitely worth it.
Yes, and I think I like Infinity War as much as Chris, but way better than Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, in my opinion.
Well, see, and maybe this is the problem, is that I feel like we've moved into an era of episodic filmmaking, mm-hmm. where you can think of the MCU as a television show.
Yeah.
And this was the season finale for season 2. And all the other movies that have come before, the 20 of them or whatever, was season 1 and season 2. And at the end of a television show, you'll often get these big cliffhangers. Mm-hmm. Oh, what did they do? How are they going to get back from... Spider-Man can't really be dead. It's not a TV show. It's a movie. I plunked down $11.50 to see a beginning, a middle, and an end, and I only got half of that.
It may be sort of the Netflix influence, man.
It may be. That's what I'm saying, is are we in a new era now where I just need to accept it?
I think we might be.
And maybe. We already said this is something that's never been done before.
Right. Now it's going to be done over and over now.
Yeah, and not very well. They've already tried, and not very well.
Now, I haven't read too much on... I think everybody agrees that all those characters are pretty much coming back. I haven't read too much, but the theories that keep going along, people are like, well, what about, you know, what? It seems like the Time Stone's going to be involved. Of course the Time Stone's going to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is that Like, I don't think people are going into detail about why what they think is going to happen. I mean, I think Thanos is going to be upset that Gamora is dead, and he's going to try to go back to that time. But that would create a paradox because he doesn't have the time stone until after Gamora dies.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he has to get the soul stone first, and then he goes.
I doubt this movie's going to stop over a time travel paradox.
I think it would.
Really?
I think it would. Yeah, I think so. Because there's no way he can have the time stone unless there's some other. They could always write this. There's some other way you can have the time stone and then not have it at the same time.
Well, I was a little, I mean, again, I nitpick movies for a living, so take everything I say with a grain of salt. I was a little frustrated when Thanos uses the time stone at the end to undo her exploding vision stone. Nothing else changes and goes back in time except Wanda and that stone in Vision's head.
And that could be how that thing works, though.
Doesn't, if you point it at something or something, because Doctor Strange wasn't.
I have questions about that. How did he see the futures where they fail? If he's dead, how did he see the future where they succeed? If he's can he see futures where he's already dead? How's that work?
I don't know. Well, I mean, maybe if he got up to the point where he died.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. It was whatever that battle was. He saw all the different scenarios how that battle ended, and I guess.
He said he saw one where they won, and now he's dead.
Yeah,
and that's where. Well, then that's where he gives the time stone away. That's the one scenario.
But how did he see past his own death to know that that led to winning?
What do you mean past his own death?
He gives Thanos the time stone to save Tony's life.
Uh-huh.
And then when Thanos snaps, he dies.
Yeah.
So yeah, how did he see
past that death to know that giving the time stone to Thanos was the way to succeed?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you can see.
And again, the answer would be that it happens before that death then because he doesn't die because If the whole way to win is to give him the time stone and he goes back trying to save Gamora, whatever he's trying to do, then he's alive in that scenario. If they win.
Yeah. So that assumes that we all know is that everybody is not actually dead.
I'm actually now actively wondering if a guy can die and then come back to life through time travel, but still see the gap in between and what happens there.
Or maybe he just sees the final outcome.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm overthinking it.
This is the kind of stuff that interests the crap out of me, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then that gets into other things, too, about this movie, that if you wanted to really start nitpicking and stuff, and obviously, even though I loved it, there are parts in this, I can't wait till we send this, but like, there are points where Thanos has a gauntlet that has six Infinity Stones on it. And at one point, even with two, this guy has every bit of power in the world. And there's so many times you're like, you could just end this so quickly. Yep. You don't even need your henchmen or whatever.
He does way too much punching.
But I don't know. The fact that he wanted all the stones, I think that just fit into his character. I mean, clearly he was just like this madman that wanted all the power. I mean, I think it was just as simple as that, which isn't that interesting. But
no, I think it's deeper than that. I think he truly believes the universe needs balance.
No.
For sure.
Yeah.
But he is a madman.
That's definite. Now, and even that motivation, as much as I relate to it, especially if you drive through rush hour and stuff like that.
We should get Chris like a toy version of the Infinity Gauntlet that he can wear
while
driving.
I drive through rush hour every time I go home from
here. I want half the people gone. And nobody would miss them.
He's like, why is this not working?
Nobody would miss them. But I keep wondering if he does have this true, like, I consider killing half the people in the universe mercy. Did we forget the Douglas Adams thing where the space is big, very, very big?
Yep.
Like, if you really had some sort of mercy involved, why don't you just go to a planet and say, I'm going to kill half of you unless you all relocate to this one planet, these other planets that were, there's so many of them out there.
Or arguably, hey, man, you've got the Infinity Gauntlet with all the power stones and everything. Why don't you just make more resources?
Yeah.
You can bend reality. That shit he does in the Benicio del Toro place, that nowhere, where he turns Drax and Caterpillar Lady into
Mantis.
I don't know her name. She was surprisingly important in this movie.
I know. I was surprised about that too.
He doesn't do that like ever again.
I know.
He at the
do
end,
it at
he's fighting Iron Man and Spider-Man and Doctor Strange, and I'm like, turn one of them into like a weird IKEA art or something.
there was a lot of things where it's like, why didn't you do that first? Like, there's that part where Doctor Strange creates like 30 of him,
yeah,
and just starts massively attacking Thanos, and you're like, why didn't you start with that? Like, that should have been your lead in.
I saw.
And then there's the part where, which granted, I still don't understand this. I know the force field gets opened up a little bit in Wakanda, but I'm still assuming they have force fields underground. But those big ass vehicles just come up from under the ground. I'm like, why didn't you lead with that instead of sending 800 like cannibalistic tigers or whatever?
World
the
War Z.
I was thinking Hunger Games for some reason.
I had an Anakin, I have the high ground kind of battle strategy moment when Black Panther decides, hey, they're running around the force field and may eventually flank us as one of 10 of them make it through the force field. Let's just open it right in front of us and start fighting.
I was like, how?
Well, that, and you know what? That's one thing, by the way. I've seen the movie twice, and either I've been distracted or I can't hear what they're saying. Because there's so much going on, I don't even really understand that strategy. Like, I don't even understand why they needed to open it up unless, like, the constant running into the force field.
He was trying to create a bottleneck to where they knew exactly where they were going.
But I don't understand why, if your strategy was to, well, maybe they're all just, you know, they're dumb enemies, and they're like, okay, we don't know that there might be weaknesses in this thing, so let's go through the bottleneck. You know, I mean, you know, that's always a possibility there, but that's one of those things that all of a sudden he's like, open up 17A or whatever the fuck it is. And
Well, their big thing was that, I mean, they didn't want him to go around to the backside because they were saying that then they couldn't protect Vision. But, oh, and oh my God, I hope Vision's dead, but that's a whole other story. But they couldn't protect Vision. But how could they not protect Vision? Because Scarlet Witch is fucking up there. Mm-hmm. And then they even make that whole big scene where she comes down to help them, destroys everything in front of her. And then I cannot remember her name from Black Panther.
It's like Oyoke or Okoye.
Yeah. She's like, what? Why didn't she do this before?
Why was she up there the whole time?
So I had a lot of people on Twitter telling me that she has written a sin for us, or that she would be excellent at CinemaSins. And I'm like, you people don't understand it. Like, Scarlet Witch had to be up there because she was the only one strong enough to destroy that stone.
Exactly. And then why? But that's what I'm saying. If Scarlet Witch is up there and can take out like 800 of these things with one blow, then why do they care if they get around to the other end?
You're right.
And then you don't open the fucking gate.
Right.
Egg 11A or whatever the hell that
is. At least we got some laughs with Bruce trying to figure out how to use a Hulkbuster armor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that is one thing. I how do you not have him turn into the Hulk at some point?
Well,
that
because
makes
they've
no
got
sense.
Bigger plans, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
What are the bigger plans, though?
It's because it's half of a movie.
He's going to come out at the end.
Yeah. But having him turn in, I don't know, that made no sense to me. But that was just from a storytelling standpoint. They chose to tell the story that way, that's fine.
Well, they have been,
I didn't get that.
They have been sort of tooling with this since Thor Ragnarok, that he was Hulk for 2 years and he wasn't able to change back and everything. And then he gets his ass thrashed by Thanos on that
Which
ship.
Which is pretty cool.
And I wonder if it's a financial thing, too, because, I mean, I understand this movie costs like $300 million or whatever to make. But, I mean, they still have to cut corners at some point because they can't. You know
where they cut?
And I wonder if they cut it at Hulk.
That last shot of like floating Banner's head in the Hulkbuster after he takes the helmet off. That was awful.
Oh, I cannot figure out if that was actually him.
I was like, open up Premiere. I'll do a better job than that. Jesus.
Or even if that was actually him, it looked terrible.
I mean,
either way, you do something with that shot.
It looked bad.
Oh, that was the worst shot in the movie, though. I will
talk about some things that I really did like in this. I love the fact that Thanos throws an entire fucking moon down.
Oh, that was amazing.
That shit is amazing to me.
I agree.
And like, and it's really sort of a thing that I wish there were more of in this, where something that's just like jaw dropping, like you would never imagine, happens on screen. And here he just pulls his hand together and the moon just explodes and there's just asteroids coming down and you're like, God damn it. Yeah. This is why we go to the movies.
You're right. I thought for the most part, other than parts of the Wakanda stuff, just because there was so much going on, I really liked the action in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I like the action in this movie more than I've liked just about any Marvel
movie. By the way, the Russo brothers have come a long fucking way since Winter Soldier and Civil War.
Yeah, since Civil War.
Civil War, good God. Okay. okay, look, I know a lot of people like this movie, and I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm not really on one side or another with Civil War.
But, ironically.
Yeah, exactly. Man, the action scenes in that are a fucking disaster.
They really are.
They're a fucking disaster.
It's the worst example, I would say probably one of the worst examples of what they do wrong in MCU yes. movies and action.
Yeah. Well, and there was only one moment in this one, Infinity War, where I thought, I don't understand what's happening right now. And it was a Cap moment in the Wakanda battle where between cuts and the frenetic things he was doing, it got a little confusing. Mm. But that only made me realize how little of that had happened throughout the movie.
I know.
The editing in this movie is great.
The only reason that I struggled to figure out exactly what was happening in the final battle with Thanos on Titan was because it was moving so fast, not because it was cut too much.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually stopped to go, how did they plan out all of this? Because this is intricate, especially that Star-Lord moment where he's like, gives the finger, boom.
Yeah.
He falls down. I have never laughed that hard.
I have never
seen you move.
Chris, like, I thought Chris was going to fall out of his seat.
Oh, Jesus. But how did they plan that down to the letter?
That actually might have been the funniest moment. I take back thing about
yeah,
Drax.
Yeah, that was my favorite. Up until then, it was, there's a Spider-Man and an Ant-Man?
Yeah.
But honestly, I feel like there's a little too much of hey, who are you? I'm this person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's a little too much of, oh, he's been gone for forever. Let's casually dismiss that.
I enjoyed the
pairings,
though.
Like, why did Black Widow and Banner not get a scene?
Oh, that was terrible.
Talking.
That was terrible. I wanted to talk about
and
that.
And you know what? They may have had one.
They may have.
And you're talking about 2 hours and 40 minutes.
But I so could like, think of a few things I would cut out to make room
why
for
Why is
that.
Black Widow in this movie?
Well, because that's... God, okay, it's laughable in this movie at the end, all the machine guns. And then they have this moment where you're going to die all on your own, just like he did. And then Black Widow's like, she's not alone. And then another girl from Wakanda's like, yeah, I'm here too. And I'm like, oh, the only three women in this entire movie that you have not killed or tortured... And you're going to give him a bone.
Anything Black
yeah.
Panther's
nice
sister is going to show up all of a sudden. No, that was ridiculous. And then there's, you know, the people they leave out. I mean, they don't leave out that many, I guess. But they leave out Ant-Man and Hawkeye. I didn't care.
And then there was that mysterious no Valkyrie on the Thor ship.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Like, we can only guess that she saw the Thanos ship and left because... That's part of her character,
well,
right? She's left before.
Isn't
when
it explicit though that Thanos intentionally left half those Asgardians alive?
I don't know, man. Everybody's dead, lying on that ship.
I think there's a line that he said that he only killed half the Asgardians on that ship.
Oh, I didn't catch that one. I guess that's part of his whole balance.
Well, that's
strategy.
The thing is he only kills half.
Well, except for the one the star place where Peter Dinklage is, and he killed everybody except him.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there were two people.
maybe there were only two.
Yeah, maybe so.
I don't know. All my complaints are nitpicks. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the movie. I did not love it. I'm not going to go back again in the theater. If anything, I would pay to go see that Mission Impossible trailer again. Every time that Mission Impossible trailer comes on, I get giddy and start laughing. Like, there's nothing I'm more looking forward to than that.
You know what? And I know this is an aside, but man, Henry Cavill looks amazing in that movie.
He looks like a badass.
That scene where he's like...
I don't know why. That's the weirdest thing, though. I don't know why he has to take, like, the practice punch. Right?
I don't know, but it's great.
He's either cracking his knuckles or he's got weapons
and then they go into the bathroom and they're fucking like elbow punching each other.
God. He's like taking the time to roll his sleeves up for the fight. Like he's got his sleeves like perfectly rolled up.
But no, there's his face in there, like the helicopter scene. He's like he's got his head out of the helicopter and everything. He's just evil, you know?
It's the mustache.
Yeah, it's the mustache.
It was, also my first time seeing the full trailer for Venom.
Oh yeah.
I don't know where I have no idea how anybody feels about this. I thought it was fucking awesome.
I did too. Yeah. A lot of people are bitching
like
about
the Tom
it.
Hardy
I thought he looked great.
Being this like nervous kind of high talking, nothing like you've ever seen Tom Hardy. And then just the general idea of the action where
the suit is fighting for him, or the symbiote is, before he even realizes what it can do.
It's symbiote.
Symbiote.
I'm
really
kidding. It actually is symbiote.
I couldn't care less. I said it right. I said it right. I couldn't care less.
I didn't know how it was pronounced. Fuck you.
somebody here told me I did it wrong.
No, it's the trailer says symbiote like over and over again.
I'll make sure and get it right when we do the Sins video, or wrong when we do
I'm glad to hear that, though. I thought it looked good, too. And I saw all these people complaining about it on Twitter. I'm like,
I go
to
movies with my friend Jason. He knows what I do for a living. And so it's become this thing where a trailer will run and then he'll turn to me and I'll give some kind of response. Like we saw the trailer for The Meg.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The trailer ended and Jason looked at me and I said, it's this far away from being a Sharknado movie and everybody knows it.
Yep,
it is.
And when the Venom trailer ended, I was like, that looks fucking awesome. And that's pretty rare that I'm that excited for a trailer.
The Venom trailer, I've seen it 3 times now. And I don't know. The first time I was like, that's cool. Now it's getting to the point of like, this looks like Spawn to me.
And I
hope that another trailer comes out
at
some point.
It is a little Spawny.
Yeah, a little bit. So I will reserve judgment until I see the movie, obviously. But yeah, the more the trailer goes, the more I'm like, when he's like, I am Venom, and he turns into the wicked fucking monster and everything. I'm still like, okay, now I've seen it enough. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to see it 100 times this fucking summer.
Yeah, you are. Anything else we need to add to Infinity War?
Yeah. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, we could talk about the specific humor things in there. Mm-hmm. Once again, Doctor Strange's cape finds a way to steal scenes.
Yes, he does.
And
it's great.
It's so fantastic. It's like, and there's a point where Doctor Strange is being like held captive or whatever by that. There's like 4 guys. They all have different fucking names. Like,
if you don't know them, then you're not a true fan.
Yeah, Proxima Midnight.
Proxima Midnight is the one that I hear most. But then this dude, like what the dude looked like after he picked the wrong grail in Last Crusade or whatever. That guy.
Are you talking about Thanos' henchman? Or
I
like Ebony Maw, I think is his name.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about the one that they send out the arrow, which was also really awesome.
Old movie scene. Aliens?
Yeah. Oh yeah, another great line though is when Chris Pratt, you know, it's like Footloose. Yeah, is that still the greatest movie of all time? And Spider-Man's like, never was.
And you guys were talking about Drax has some of the funniest stuff in there, like the why is Gamora is a really great line after who's Gamora. But that also brings that whole thing to point where you were bringing up about the who are you people and everything. Like, who fucking says this shit to strangers, you know? There's a John Mulaney bit, like, where he's talking about, like every amnesia movie, there's somebody who wakes up out of their coma and their husband or wife is sitting next to him, and they're like, who are you? Get out of here! Would you tell that to a total stranger? You know, that type of thing.
We haven't talked at all about Downey. I thought Downey was the best he's been in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed his role in it. I really, you felt all the weight on him where he felt he was responsible.
That's the thing. It's the first time they've given him that weight.
Yeah. And like when he went to space, like that whole bit where he's talking to Peter and like, this is a suicide mission. Like we're not going back basically. It's like, you know, I thought all that stuff was really
good. Well, yeah. Even he gets that phone call with Pepper where he's trying to apologize and even that gets cut off mid call. I think he's as a character, he's given more to do.
And those are the moments where I could kind of understand the teary eyed stuff, but that's not what people are talking about. Like you said, they're talking about Spider-Man apparently, who's obviously going to be back next summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was another great moment too, where, Peter's on the bus and he has the Spidey sense and everything. He sees the alien ship and he turns to Ned and he's like, Ned, I need a distraction. Ned, without even thinking, he's like, oh shit, we're gonna die.
What I love is because
I was watching porn bit.
I was thinking to myself, there's no way he's actually had time to see and process the spaceship out there.
Yeah.
They've done this before.
This
is not the first time Ned has had to create a diversion. I loved it. Ned continues to be one of the best things about
the MCU. That whole sequence where you had Strange and Spider-Man and Iron Man all together fighting off the henchmen or whatever, that was a great bit. There were so many good actors. That was the editing was just so top notch.
If anything, maybe it'll get more people watching Aliens.
Right? Yeah, maybe so.
Like people who didn't get that reference.
You know, it's funny though. Like that he it is a joke when he says that old movie Aliens. Do you know what? It is an old fucking movie.
Yep.
It's 32 years old.
I know.
And it's like at this point, like it's a joke, but it's also not.
Yeah.
You know, it's like. But yeah, I really like the action in this. I like the comedy and the color palette just is mm-hmm. sort of prepares you for this is a much darker episode and everything. This is why it looks like it's aiming for that Empire Strikes Back
yeah.
type of chapter and everything. It's not as bright as usual. Even the like brighter scenes or whatever are muted a little bit.
Although I will say, even Empire Strikes Back, like it's somehow gotten this reputation that it's half a movie or it ends on too much of a cliffhanger, but I feel like there's a solid story arc there mm-hmm. and
oh,
it just doesn't end
definitely.
On a happy, we won the battle.
Right.
Whereas this movie, again, I think you could call it an A+ and love it 100%. And some part of you would still have to agree with me that it's half a movie.
Yeah, no, it needs, when Avengers 4 comes out, nobody's just going to watch this one.
Right.
And stop there.
just like nobody ever watches Harry Potter 7.
But it's like, yeah. but it's kind of like it, like it chapter one or whatever you want to call it. I don't think I'm ever not going to like this Infinity War movie. But if the next one like isn't good or if it's just mediocre, maybe this one goes down a notch.
That's the thing.
But at the same time, if the next one is great, maybe this goes up a little
How
bit.
How much?
Yeah, I don't know. So that's kind
of,
that is
like Return
thing.
Of the Jedi could have sucked flat out balls. It could have been total Ewok.
Still
some people
wall to wall Ewoks yeah. and it wouldn't have dented Empire.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie and its quality score in your mind, it will hinge on the next
well,
one.
Well, an even more recent example, I don't think Last Jedi has, I think people that liked Force Awakens and disliked Last Jedi, best I can tell, I don't think Last Jedi ruined Force Awakens for them.
No, not for me.
I'm usually with you on these type of things.
You don't have to be with me.
Usually
when you say something like this is half of, it usually rings true to me. When I hear something like this, I am not getting the Deathly Hallows Part 1 feeling from this. Like, I feel like this is its own chapter. And yes, you will want to see, you want to see the other next chapter just like you would see any other Marvel movie or anything. You are right about it being episodic, that it's more like a TV show than a movie nowadays. But I don't think it's any different. I mean, they've run cliffhangers since the beginning of this franchise, the whole thing, since Iron Man.
You might do a cliffhanger as a stinger. Or like a credits thing, but I think most MCU movies have an ending.
I mean, mm-hmm. Civil War definitely ended on a cliffhanger. I mean, you had the whole it still ends on its own, but I mean, you have the phone, and which the phone actually came back into play. That was funny.
But
as fuck.
This doesn't seem like there's just a whole bunch of pointlessness leading to the second movie.
Well, maybe there's a connotation when I say half a movie that suggests it's pointless. I don't think it's pointless. I just think it's incomplete. If you know that Spider-Man is going to come back. Then this is not the end of this story.
Yeah.
And we need the rest of it to truly process what we've just seen. I don't think that's the case in a standard film. I don't think Fast and Furious movies do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think movies, like, who is the character in this movie that has an arc? Who completely shifts from one viewpoint to another by the end?
I mean, Thanos?
He doesn't even shift. If he shifts, it's going to be the next movie when he misses Gamora.
I think he does kind of shift.
Especially with the Gamora death. Yeah. There's definitely some shifting there. I mean, he's really thinking about that.
I don't think he is.
The very end of this, he has that what I'm going to always refer to as Dumbledore dream moments at this point, because it's always like some death person yeah. who's dead tells you some mess, like Deus Ex Machina message or whatever. Mm-hmm. But she asks him what did it cost? And he's like, it's everything or whatever. And I think that's what his arc is that he has gone from I'm totally right about this to even like when he's like looking out in the sunset and everything, he's got that weighing heavily on him that he killed his favorite daughter over all of this. And I don't think he's going to be able to take it.
By the way, as an aside, what would happen if he hadn't gone with Gamora to that planet? What if
he wouldn't have gone?
He would have had to go back.
He would have had to be like, yeah, go get your daughter. You can't
have
this stone.
I think that's what would have happened, yeah.
I don't think we're as far apart on this as it sounds like mm-hmm. we are. I think we're mostly playing at semantics at
right.
this point. Because I get what you're saying. He has regret. I don't necessarily feel, for me personally, like that was a fulfilling arc, because it's not done. If he has regret, that's going to fester and turn into him trying to undo what he's done. And that is the arc. And I don't feel like this movie gives us any, like, I don't feel like he thinks he's wrong by the end of this movie. In fact, I do see the
the sparkle, the J.J. Abrams lens flare of regret in his eye. But he's mostly enjoying that peaceful sunset. That's what he wanted. He's happy.
I think you're right. And I don't want him to completely regret it because, I mean, I want him to be a villain. I mean, because, you know, I think Loki lost a lot of his luster once he became more of a indecisive asshole, basically.
To me, he did. I feel like everybody else liked him more.
Or like, you know, like on fucking like Star Trek Voyager where they tried to make the Borg human and all that bullshit. But like when they do that with villains... That was so random. I apologize.
No.
When they do that with villains, that gets on my nerves. And I definitely don't want Thanos to all of a sudden be fighting alongside Iron Man in a future movie.
That happens. We're all gonna
be real quick, you saw it again. I cannot figure out how Iron Man didn't die.
In what?
When he gets stabbed?
Because, I mean, isn't he stabbed all the way through his body?
Yeah,
and then,
but,
like, the next time we see him, he's walking around.
But, no, there's a point where he does some of... This is never explained.
okay.
But he's got some sort of, like...
Spray device. Like, the same shit Rocket fixed the ship like, with in Guardians 2.
He's got some, like, human caulk or something.
But that was... I didn't think Thor had died at the beginning. And that was fine with that because he's a fucking god. I mean, I could see him getting, and he could be in space and all that stuff. But when Iron Man got stabbed, I was like, oh my God, they just fucking killed Iron Man. And I'm like thinking maybe they did.
Well, by the way, they haven't explained these weird fix-it things. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 has a part where Rocket is like fixing the ship by basically...
Yeah.
Doing that
spray-on shit.
You didn't hear me, but I just said that. That's the same shit that Rocket is using. Yeah.
Yeah, and then later like on they do it with the ship after they knock dude out, and then he's got a whole hole in his body that he's like, I'm gonna just spray paint.
Vision
this.
Didn't have that shit.
No, he didn't. That brings me to another thing that I don't like, although with a 2-hour and 40-minute runtime, I guess you're just gonna have to swallow it a lot of time. In the last time we saw Vision and Scarlet Witch, they were like, okay, they're kind of like flirty or whatever, and you never thought that was...
Yeah, now they're fucking.
Yeah, they're totally fucking.
Well, it's kind of cheap because it's played for this big emotional impact at the end that...
And that's a problem
and that is
for
a
this
problem.
Movie because we haven't developed a relationship with them yet.
I would even say Gamora and Star-Lord is the same thing.
Yeah, that was weird because it's obvious Star-Lord is head over heels in love with her. She has never in any of the movies or anything ever said, you know, anything or even remotely suggested.
Well,
She
does at the end of Volume 2 because...
The I love you scene just felt a little false.
Yeah, it did. But
it felt forced.
But in Volume 2, the whole time in Volume 2 is him saying, like, unspoken moments between us and everything.
That's true.
And she's like, no, there's no such thing. And then at the end, she's like... That felt like one of those unspoken moments you were talking about. There was an acknowledgement. Still, you're right. We haven't had them as a couple yet, and all this whole thing. Still, I mean, even as a friend, though, you would feel, you know.
But would you? Would
but
you?
That didn't feel like a friend. I love you.
No.
It's a small problem for me that the movie kind of hinges on Star-Lord just losing his shit when he finds out Gamora's dead.
Yeah,
that would make more sense for me if it was Tony finding out Pepper was dead because she's been in more movies.
Yeah,
and I've seen them as a relationship.
Or Spider-Man finding out Aunt May was dead.
I've already seen them in bed together in a movie. Like, there's emotional impact. Those two, both of those, Vision and Scarlet Witch, and then Gamora and Star-Lord, are played in this film for an emotional impact that isn't quite earned.
And I don't think Vision's ever been a very interesting character.
No. He's stupid.
And what I remember from what I've read of him in the comics, when I used to read comics, he wasn't a very interesting. He was never one of my favorites. The scene where he dies, like, that's supposed to be a big emotional moment. And the emotion for me was more, oh, I'm so glad he's fucking dead.
Yeah, thank God.
I hope he's never in another movie. Yeah, he's so boring.
Yeah. I mean,
he adds nothing to anything.
I hope they take stock of their characters in rewatching this film and the MCU people, because you see somebody like Rocket, who's funny. Consistently.
The Rocket and Thor stuff is
I don't need Rocket in that Wakanda battle at the end, but I enjoyed him there, and he wasn't wasted or useless.
And Thor showing up and just blowing away, that was actually a really cool moment.
I don't know how he knew where to go.
But the reason I liked that, though, is because you had all this buildup where they were having a struggle, like building the hammer, and all that stuff just kind of built a lot of tension, and it went towards that moment. So then you get like this big, like, Superman shows up moment. You know, you get kind of that.
Well, yeah. I was half expecting that Zeppelin song again.
and that also protected it from being a true Deus Ex Machina too,
yes.
Is because we're seeing all of this lead up to him getting his axe. Now he's got an axe, which is
axe.
You know, I guess that was another thing that I had a question about, is like the whole Thor Ragnarok, by the end of it, they're like, you don't need your hammer.
Yeah.
And
you do.
Yeah, but actually you do, because you need to stab Thanos with it at the end. And
they've done a couple 180s on this hammer, because even in Age of Ultron, they're all, let's all try to lift the hammer. But in hindsight, that was the hammer, really? Was Thor's power in there, I guess? Yeah. That's why they couldn't lift it?
It's supposed to, I never understood that scene, because it's supposed to be this magical hammer that it's basically programmed to only be picked up by Thor. And they're all like, of course you can't lift it. And Thor's all like lording it over them too. Like, ha, ha, ha. Maybe he doesn't tell them that. Maybe he just says it's a heavy hammer and you try to pick it up.
Maybe it's all like a game, a mental trick.
Yeah.
That guy you were talking about in the episode I wasn't here for. Push.
But I guess there's been enough in the other Thor appearances.
Yeah, mentalist.
Push. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess there's been enough in the other Thor appearances, though, to where I totally bought that sequence. I totally bought that he could come in and just waste away all those people. Whereas Scarlet Witch, I have no fucking clue how her powers work.
I'll talk more about this on Thursday when we do the MCU full podcast. Mm-hmm. Maxi pod. Meant to say pod, said pad.
And you guys are getting your MCU on.
Not
this
as funny right. That way. But I still have the same problem of not really having any idea who's stronger than who. Because I feel like Scarlet Witch and Doctor Strange have both shown us stuff in previous movies that suggested to me they would be much more powerful than they are in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
The way, even in Thor Ragnarok, where Doctor Strange is just basically portaling Thor's ass anywhere he wants him to go. I saw online, I didn't make this up, but I agree with it. Why didn't you just portal Thanos into the sun?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why didn't you try to portal Thanos somewhere?
He can have Loki falling, a god, by the way, falling for 30 straight minutes through this thing, but he doesn't even try that with Thanos.
You've seen it twice, maybe you know, and I know Benedict Wong says something right before Banner calls Cap, but why is Benedict Wong gone the rest of the movie?
I think he has to guard that one section.
Okay.
He has to. He's sort of duty-bound to guard that, and I forgot what they call the...
Like a sanctuary
yeah,
or whatever.
Okay. He's duty-bound to do that.
That makes a little sense.
I'm not sure why he's able to just hang out in New York for a little bit, for a while, when he does that, but because he goes back to...
Is it Hong Kong?
It's not Hong Kong. It's Tibet or whatever the place that are in Doctor Strange. I can't remember what it is. But I think that he has to go back there. He has to be there. He's sort of duty bound.
Okay.
But you're right. Now this movie does a better job than the last few to tell you what powers everybody has. I think there's a sort of a disconnect here. I think the movies have done a great job of telling you what their powers are. Like, they've been pretty consistent about what the powers are.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they introduce new things, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, I can see that being a new upgrade thing. Like, Spider-Man's got the legs now, which are pretty cool.
Yeah,
and
actually didn't bother me in this movie, because they were in space.
Right, and Iron Man's got these new, little hover shooty things or whatever he's got coming out of. Whatever the fuck those are, because I think there's a point where somebody turns to him, and I think it's Banner turns to him, and it's like, oh, so new stuff to the suit, huh? And you're like, yeah, whatever. What was the banner? But they've done a great job of, because I'm going through all the movies again. It's like, they're pretty consistent with the powers. They're not consistent with who can do what to whom, though.
Right. Mm.
And,
the strength of those powers.
Right. And like you said, this is one of those things where you could just have a field day, because there's so many characters, of why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do this? Because there's so many things that they can do, and they have shown they can do throughout the whole thing. And yes, again, it's one of those things where the movie necessarily has to make you forget that they can do those things. Still, you're like, if I'm Doctor Strange, here's how I would do it.
Well,
and he's better than I am, so why is he doing it this way?
And I get how Quill ends up on that planet, but after they destroyed Ego in the second movie, my understanding was he kind of lost his god power. Mm-hmm. Therefore, Quill is essentially... It probably not even as good as Black Widow, because at least she, she's got training and, he's just basically this mercenary that just goes and, steals shit or whatever.
He's got the advantage.
So, how does he live?
Yeah, he's got the advantage of having a thing that flies around in a mask.
Well, and the disconnect for me on the powers specifically is keyed on that scene where the two Thanos henchmen come after Scarlet Witch and Vision in, Berlin or whatever.
Yeah.
And that, granted,
Scotland.
They, they hurt Vision, mm-hmm. and he says something about a can't phase or whatever, so maybe he's useless at this point. Scarlet Witch is still, in my opinion, from the other movies, like a god, basically. Mm-hmm. And they have to be saved by Black Widow and Falcon
and Captain America.
Yeah.
Captain America, obviously.
Captain America makes sense. Yeah.
Falcon,
but
at least.
I've seen people, here's the problem. I've seen people online, big Marvel fans, comic fans, who are bitching about that moment where Cap stops Thanos' arm.
Mm-hmm.
Because Spider-Man should be 10 times stronger than Cap, and so-and-so should be such-and-such.
And doesn't have a shield.
But I'm saying the comics do a great job of telling you who's stronger than who.
Yeah.
The movies don't give a shit, because they either expect you to know from the comics, or they need to change it every
other
movie.
Well, they change everything from the comics, so that doesn't even help.
Yeah, and if Hulk can pretty much beat Thor in a fight that we've seen a couple of times now, then why is, and then Hulk gets his ass beat by Thanos. We're doing a lot of transitive property here.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But if Hulk beats Thanos, Thanos beats Hulk so badly, then how is Captain America able to stop Thanos?
Yeah, no.
And how is Tony's suit able to stop Thanos at one point?
I'm with, again, the response is going to be, you're thinking too much. Just enjoy yourself.
Sure.
And there's still, I think they did as good a job as they could with there being this many characters in the movie. But you still have to look at it, and there are people that get kind of sidelined. I mean, Captain America basically gets sidelined.
Groot is pretty worthless in this whole movie. He has that one funny line, he's a teenager,
and he makes the hammer.
He uses his hand to make the thing. But that's why I made the joke about Vin Diesel regretting that role, because he's shoved to the side.
But Groot's on the side in most of the Last Guardian of the Galaxy movie, too. I mean, you would expect Groot to not have as many big moments, but Captain America does nothing other than, I guess, he helps in the fight in Wakanda, obviously, but I mean, up until that point, you've barely even seen him. And Black Panther adds very little other than he gives them Wakanda to fight on.
Yeah.
But he adds so little.
This might be my biggest problem with the action in this movie, by the way, is Black Panther. All the other stuff that we're talking about is just kind of, that's just kind of fun.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're looking back on it and why don't they blah, 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 blah. The Black Panther thing, though, in Black Panther, we see that his suit can build up all this kinetic energy and blow up all this stuff around him. Mm-hmm. And it never used once in this one. Mm-hmm. There is a point where he does have that. You can see that kinetic energy building, and Thanos slams him on the ground, and you kind of see a little bit of a whoop or whatever, but it's not anything like what we saw in the actual Black Panther movie. And I was like, that would have been really useful. And I feel like
there's a lot of stuff I thought
I feel like that was probably one of my biggest, not a nitpick, but it's a problem.
No, I agree. Yeah. But I did get, you talked about that moon with Thanos. That's why we go to movies. That moment where Cap and Panther race away from the whole pack because they're so much faster.
Yeah.
Gave me chills. That's the reason I go to superhero movies. And this movie has a lot of beats like that. Mm-hmm. You're going to enjoy it if you enjoyed previous Marvel movies. If you like me, watch Civil War and you're like, okay, I didn't hate it. It's okay. It's there. I probably don't need to rewatch it a bunch. You're going to feel the same way coming out of this movie.
I will say this kind of, I've never been I don't want to go see a Marvel movie. I mean, I always check them out, obviously, but I definitely haven't been as invested, other than maybe Spider-Man, just because I'm such a Spider-Man guy. But this actually rejuvenated my interest a little bit. I'm more interested in going to see Ant-Man now than I was before.
Well, I'll be curious.
I'm just curious what they're going to do.
This has to be set before Infinity War.
Your idea.
Yeah, it's happening at the same time.
Having seen Infinity War, I don't think it's possible for them to do my idea.
You know what?
I'm very excited
Maybe
about this
it's
Marvel,
both.
Captain Marvel.
Maybe both is happening at the same time.
I'm very excited about Miss Marvel, or what is it? Captain Marvel. Good gosh.
Which was the end
Ms.
credit
Marvel,
scene.
The...
Captain Marvel, yeah. The very end credit scene was
and that's the thing that we're kind of forgetting in all this, is that Thanos will probably regret having killed Gamora. Yeah, time travel will be involved somehow, but Captain Marvel is going to be a key to Avengers 4. Otherwise, why did he? Why did
yeah? And I think
Nick Fury call her.
Well, and I think Fury. I think Jackson's in the Captain Marvel movie.
He is.
Sans eye patch, I believe.
Yeah, he is.
So that'll be
Coulson's in that movie.
Well, and that was another thing I couldn't remember. Which you've rewatched all the movies recently, and I never watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. really or anything, but. Was it really widely known that Fury was back? I was trying to remember because, I mean, Colby Smulders' character, Maria.
Yeah, Maria Hill.
Maria Hill's with him at the end.
Well, he, like, surprise shows up with a helicarrier at the end of Age of Ultron.
Was it Age of Ultron? Okay, okay.
Well, okay, so the last time we saw him was at the end of Winter Soldier, because he says... we're going to attack this Hydra base. This is what Avengers Age of Ultron starts off with and everything. Yes, he does show up with a helicarrier, I think, in Age of Ultron. You're right. Okay. That might be the last time we see him.
Okay.
And then I've taken that end credit scene to mean that they've rebuilt S.H.I.E.L.D. underground from the events of those movies. He hasn't been in the movies since then.
And there's probably something on that show that they've been doing, but I don't care enough to find out.
The Coulson character dies in the first Avengers.
Yes.
But then I think he shows up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He's the main character. If I remember, I did watch most of the first season. If I remember correctly, he's basically a clone of some sort.
Oh, a clone.
But don't, like, I mean, all these comic book people are going to come at me.
You know what? Maybe you should call me Landfill.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't watch the fucking show. It's stupid. I mean, I just couldn't get into it.
Yeah, that would work. Yeah.
Oh man!
But, we worked a beer fest reference.
I know, we totally did. Okay, so letter grades going around.
I'm gonna give it a B plus, A minus, right okay. in that wheelhouse.
Oh, so
but I do want to see
quite
it
quite a bit.
Oh yeah,
I don't know, B minus.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I don't know. Well, I guess an A minus isn't really solid. I'm gonna do an A minus mm-hmm. for now. I think on multiple viewings though, I think it could easily go up to that A territory.
Yeah, solid A for me. I do have obviously some issues with it. I don't know how in the world you make a movie like this.
I don't either. That's like I said, that alone makes
it. It's one
it
of
good.
Those things where but like then, you're you know. Judging you're judging an ice skating competition and you're like level of difficulty was fucking high
yeah.
for this.
Yeah.
And they pretty much nailed it. And it's way better than the guy who did just a couple of triple axles and skated nope. around the skated around the rink the rest of the time.
I do want to make a prediction so we can come back in a year and be like, yeah, you were fucking right. No, I know Jeremy said they're all going to survive. I do think they're going to kill Iron Man or Captain America.
No, I do. I think to expound on my theory, yeah. I think I told Simser this. You tipped your hand that all Spider-Man and Black Panther and those, they're not dead permanently. They're coming back. I think you've also tipped your hand that Iron Man and Cap are dead.
Mm.
I think, well, I don't know if they'll kill both of them. I would lean towards Iron Man, but the problem is they already did the whole like stabbing him through the chest and silly puttied himself back
my
together.
My real world knowledge trumps your in-movie knowledge, and Robert Downey Jr. cannot be afforded for too much longer.
Oh,
and
no. I don't think
Chris Evans
any
has publicly
movies.
Talked about being ready to be done with the character.
True story.
I don't think they're going to end those two character arcs in the MCU and leave them just out there. They're going to kill those fuckers.
Yeah, and then they'll bring back, like, younger Iron Man.
Right?
Well,
if you're saying goodbye to Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man and Tony Stark, you are not doing
it give him
Paul
a...
Walker style.
Also,
where he just went off to have a baby and yes. live his life, and we call him every other
I did
movie.
Want to say yes. Cheadle is great in this movie.
You know, Cheadle is, yes.
That was the most they've ever given him really to do.
It is, and it just points out how worthless he is as a character.
But he is very good.
No. I do wonder, though, if they do end up getting... Either getting rid of Downey or the character of Iron Man or Captain America and Chris Evans, how that will affect them at all. I wonder about that because their main like cash cows have been Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man.
Yep. And I think X-Men are, I mean, I don't know this, but obviously Disney's purchasing Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And so I definitely think the X-Men are going to factor into all this. In fact, there's even rumors that Jean Grey movie is somehow going to be an idea of what they're going for.
There's no way they're spending any time and money
but
right
that could
now
be a future.
On any of that. Like, if anybody has a theory that Avengers 4 is going to include X-Men
or
Fantastic Four,
I don't think
4,
that. I don't think that. What I'm saying is, after that, assuming a merger goes through, moving forward, they would have stuff like that to mess with if they didn't have
anything
Iron
goes.
Man.
I
didn't have Iron Man.
They
anymore.
Obviously. As they showed in this movie, they had a ton of characters, and probably five or six of them didn't get much to do. You can't add the X-Men and Fantastic Four into this movie.
If it came across, I was saying that.
No,
I didn't think that.
I'm just telling the MCU that they're not going to do that. Even if they have a connected universe, they're going to begin telling seasons of storylines for the X-Men and the Fantastic, where they're not going to consistently put everybody in every movie.
But if they did decide to get rid of Iron Man and Captain America, they've got plenty of stories to derive from.
I still think they can use,
and they can have the female Captain America. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
Why can't they
use
the Doctor Strange? When Doctor Strange came out, I was convinced this is how they're going to reboot these characters. They're going to go back in time, find a younger actor
recast,
to play Tony Stark. And just do his thing again.
Yeah, I don't think there's any, I don't think there's anything preventing them from doing that still.
Yeah, even. Just like he did with Star Trek, right?
Yeah.
They had new Avengers because it was a new timeline, so Tony's life will be new now.
And I'm really curious if those would actually, I mean, we're just projecting stuff here, but I'm really curious how well those movies would do. I think that'd be really interesting to see how far people will follow Marvel.
But, you know, I mean, I could also be selling it short a little bit. We're so used to Downey and we're so used to Evans and all those. I mean, I don't think anybody was really thinking of Downey in the Iron Man suit 10 years ago.
No.
And so there's probably somebody else out there.
I don't think anyone was thinking an Iron Man movie would be made.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, the big rumor was that Tom Cruise got pretty close to getting the role.
Oh, really?
And I saw an interview a couple days ago. He's starting to promote Mission Impossible, and they asked him about it, and they were like, how close did you get? He's not close. Not very close. Eh. But Robert Downey Jr.
Well,
is great in the role.
Talk about not being affordable.
Well, yeah, exactly. You start out not affordable.
But I mean, everybody talks about how they can't picture Wolverine with anybody but Jackman, but then it's like, for us, like, we couldn't picture Batman without Michael Keaton. We couldn't picture.
And we didn't know who Jackman was.
And I just assumed Tobey Maguire would be playing Spider-Man for five or
and
six.
And also,
movies.
Wasn't Tom Cruise rumored for Wolverine too?
Yes,
I'm pretty sure.
Well,
he was.
I know. Who had that role? It was the villain in Mission Impossible 2, because that's why he didn't do Wolverine.
Oh, that's DeGray Scott.
He had the role, but then Mission Impossible 2, either they had to do reshoots or it was just going to go into, and he'd already committed.
And that's why
they wouldn't
Jackman.
Let him do Wolverine. So then it went to Jackman. So
crazy.
Like that's like one of those like legendary stories.
It's
like
Doug
Selleck. It's like Selleck with Indiana Jones. I mean, it's on that level, really, because look how many Wolverine movies.
Man, I would love to see Wolverine try and take on Thanos. What's Thanos going to do to him?
Yeah.
Can't kill Wolverine.
He might be able to tear the exoskeleton in half, man.
Or turn him into a piece of IKEA furniture.
Also, I didn't watch The Leftovers. Did you guys watch The Leftovers?
I watched about half the first season.
I've heard a decent amount of people say the ending of this movie is very Leftovers.
Yeah.
And then I think there's an actor that was in The Leftovers. It's actually in the movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Not the same character, obviously.
Well, and I've heard that and Left Behind.
Oh, and then Arrested Development. Did you read about this?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah.
They did the thing with Arrested Development. Apparently, I didn't watch Arrested Development. Was there an episode where David Cross was like Blue Man or something?
Yeah.
Okay, apparently in the collectors, wherever the collector is, there's a person behind him at one point. It's not David Cross, I don't think, but it's
the character.
That was the whole thing with him was that every time he showed up, he would say, I blew myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's apparently why they actually thanked, they said, you know, an Arrested Development character.
Yeah.
Well, those guys, the Russos directed several episodes of Arrested Development.
Yeah.
That's sort of
that,
the connection.
Yeah. By the way, one other thing before we sign off, it would have been kind of fun though to see Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, because we would have had a Robert Downey Jr. Tobey Maguire moment again.
Oh,
and
yeah.
An old Wonder Boys Tropic Thunder action going on in there.
And if you had gotten Hank Pym from Ant-Man, be really something.
Yeah.
You could do a Wonder Boys.
You could.
Mm-hmm. Damn it. Wait, now I got to go watch Wonder Boys again.
Yeah.
Because every time I listen to you guys every week, I've always like, and all of a sudden I want to rewatch like 10 movies because you guys talk about them and such. And now I thought I was escaping this one, but then you got to bring a fucking Wonder Boys.
Well, I don't know about you, but I got to get to Thor 2 as fast as possible. After this podcast,
I'm still not rewatching.
I'm dying to watch the Dark World.
I know
again.
You are, because I really sold it, didn't I?
Yeah.
Anyway,
Chris's favorite Marvel movie, Thor: The Dark World.
Yeah. If you learn nothing else from this podcast, it's that Chris's favorite MCU film is
That's
Thor:
right.
The Dark World.
Just put that on our whatever the masthead. All right. Well, I guess if you're like Barrett and Jeremy, then you pretty much know what to expect from this movie and you like them. You don't need to go see it or anything because it's, you know, it's there. It's a good movie. It's a decent movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I would say you guys would say go see it on a big screen, though.
Oh,
right?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. It was fun.
And if you're like Jonathan and me, just go right on in. Hey, everybody's already seen this movie anyway. By the time, probably at least once.
You pretty much have to if you don't want it spoiled for you.
Yeah, that's true. So you had the snap spoiled for you then?
among other things. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Although, and the snap was something I sort of like half predicted.
Is that what you were
yes,
teasing before?
That's
right?
What I was teasing. But what I thought they were going to do, and at least right now, I wish they would have done, was when he snapped, it would be the old guard that died,
mm-hmm.
and we'd be left with Spider-Man and Black Panther to reform the Avengers mm-hmm. for Avengers 4 to kick off the new crew. But they didn't do that.
Yep.
They killed all the new people. Doesn't feel real.
And what is it? I mean, is it, I guess it's just luck of the draw, whatever this force is.
Yeah,
it just chooses whoever it wants to.
So that's the kind of thing that I feel like if I ask those questions, the internet's going to stone me.
Well, I'm
really curious. Because
it said half of all life, but I didn't see any trees disappear.
If you're doing like 2012, where you're 2012, where you're like keeping the smart people and stuff, why would you get rid of Spider-Man?
But
I mean, that dude is a genius.
I mean, when he says life, I think it's pretty clear. He doesn't mean trees.
I agree, but I'm just saying.
And then the next thing is that he does say that when he's on his plan, when he's on Titan, that he came up with this idea, and it would end poor and rich, and it would not.
Yeah, it was like random, right?
Yeah, it was random.
Yeah, it was random.
So
okay.
I mean, he does say that it is established or whatever. But yeah, you're right. Why does it pick those people in specific? It's random.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I guess that's going to be the end of this one. We just reviewed that shit.
That was basically a maxi pod of a mini pod.
More like in Shittity War.
Yeah.
More maybe, like not the Dark World.
That's for all you people who are like forwarding all the way to the end, you know. I gave that shit a D.
That's right.
So can I come on and do the Adrift mini pod?
Yes. Okay, great. For sure.
You'll be in here by yourself.
Why though?
For sure.
Why did they show that preview before then?
I saw it before too.
I turned to Jason.
Oh my god.
It's white life of pie.
That'll be into this mini pod.
Mini pod.
Infinity pod.
Yes. This is Chris Atkins and Jeremy Scott Barrett Sharon Jonathan Watkins. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Comment on our episodes on our SoundCloud page. Check us out on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Reddit. And be sure to visit CinemaSins.com.
I don't know what it is
Yeah.
But, I don't know where to go with that. Sorry.
That's all right. Outtakes is where we'll go with that. Because
he brings in what he considers the Octo, whatever. I can't remember what he calls it.
Yeah, I don't either.
They're all companies that are going to use his new internet. And one of them is a gay dating site, but it's Christian. And the guy tells Thomas Middleditch that he's Christian. And Middleditch doesn't think there's any sort of connotations with that. So he just goes out and just blurts that out at a meeting mm-hmm. with all the other ones. And apparently being labeled as Christian is horrible in Silicon Valley. So they start treating him like...
What is... T.J. Miller says something about that early on when he catches Amanda Shaw smoking. He's like, you smoking in the valley is like as vilified as, I think it's like being a Christian.
Sounds like a line he said, yeah.
It's almost definite that he's gone like forever, right?
T.J. Miller?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not coming back now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not after the subway. He might go to jail.
Yeah.
For that whole thing. Like he called in a fake like bomb
mm-hmm.
threat.
Mm-hmm.
Because he got drunk and had a fight with someone.
God, man.
They're not going to hire him back
on that show. He's
now.
In free fall. It's crazy. It was crazy
he's
to hear
lucky
his voice.
He got Deadpool 2.
No kidding. And well, Ready
already,
Player 1,
but he
too.
He already did Deadpool 2.
Yeah, I guess he had already wrapped by the time.
Do you think we were supposed to see him in Deadpool 2? Do you think we were supposed to see him in Ready Player 1 and his shit got cut?
He's in there. He's in Ready Player
1. You don't actually see him, though. His voice is in there.
Right. Yeah. No, I don't know.
You think that they were going to put him in there instead of the
CGI I'm just curious.
CGI
I don't know if you
character?
Heard anything.
I don't think so.
Was that character in the book?
Yeah, apparently he's in it for like a paragraph, but they made him bigger in the movie.
He's just doing his T.J. Miller shit, though.
I didn't realize
how one note he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, but it's a funny
Wouldn't
note.
It would be funny if Deadpool 2 somehow came out and every scene that's supposed to have him in it has Dude Man in it.
Christopher Plummer?
Christopher Plummer.
Oh, that would be badass.
And you don't even address it? Like, you just play it as straight? That is a very Deadpool joke to me.
That would be the Deadpooliest joke
yes,
ever.
Yes, it would.
That would be awesome.
Oh, God.
Can you just see him, like, insulting Like, I would just love that if they could cut to Christopher Plummer, like, making, riffing on jokes about how bad, like, his skin looks.
What would be hilarious is if it just cut to him, like, in his living room by a fire. Like, obviously, they just didn't even bother to bring him on set. They just cut to him, like, smoking a pipe and delivering T.J. Miller's lines.
Trying to do a very bad T.J. Miller impersonation.
You know, I have a connection to Romeo and Juliet that it's just a rabbit hole, but I'll share it anyway. I was watching a shitty Hallmark movie yesterday, because you know how I like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the premise was basically this family hired a nanny, and she's trouble. I'll tell you what, this nanny is trouble. And the girl,
shocking.
The girl looks like 14,
mm-hmm.
but there's a whole scene where she discovers that the mom has a nanny cam.
Mm-hmm.
And then she knows the dad is watching it while the mom is gone, and she fucking strips in front of him.
Oh.
And, like, in the movie, you see her from behind. But I was like, man, I thought she was, like, 12. Anyway, so I was like, who the fuck is this girl? Because she's acting all sexy and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was feeling uncomfortable. So I IMDb'd her, and she's Olivia Hussey's daughter.
Oh, shit, really?
And she was born in, like, 93.
Whoa.
Wow.
And so Olivia Hussey had her when she was, I looked it up. She was, like, 43 years old when she had gave birth to this kid.
That's crazy. Now, she was Juliet in
Zephyrella. Right. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, and she was nude in that movie, right, when she was underage, right?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
But it's that kind of nude, though, where they do the hair covers it and all that. You know, like, oh, she's not really nude. She's got hair covering her, so it's all good.
We watched that movie in school and, like, high school.
I did, too.
And they fast-forwarded it.
Yeah.
Have you seen that Ladies Razor commercial where the girls all have bonsai bushes in front of their genitals? And, like, that is the most uncomfortable commercial I've ever seen. I can't even believe they get away with that shit.
Bonsai
just because it, like, not only are they barely covering genitals with a, it's like Austin Powers, the bush in front, but then they're actually shaving the bush with the razor. It's just really uncomfortable.
All right, everybody. Oh gosh, that sucked.
You got to get warmed
up. I was like, I'm not ready for this, but I'm going to go for it anyway.
You're like that albino in Princess Bride.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're in the pit of
yeah.